Praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our reading today comes from John, chapter 8, verses 12 to 20, and chapter 12, verse 46. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, and will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. And if I do judge, my decisions are true. Because I am not alone, I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. Well, I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your father? You do not know my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Today is when we stop. Today is a time to remember the enormous cost of conflict and war. It feels very overwhelming for me to stand here with so little experience of the pain and the tragedy that it contains. Some of you will have personal memories of the death or injury of a family member or personal friend. But for many of us, it's an inherited memory passed on from one generation to the next. But that in itself is important, lest we forget. I thought I'd look up the dictionary definition of remembrance, and it said to recall to the mind by an act of memory, or to think about something again. But remembrance is much more powerful than just recalling something or bringing something to mind. The function of our memories is much deeper, much richer, much more unfathomable. It is the memories that hold the recollections that we cherish, and it is our memories that help us discern what we bring to mind, their significance and their value. Remembrance is something comprehensive and all-encompassing. Each of us bring different and diverse memories and thoughts to our service of remembrance today. We bring things from our past into our present, those whom we've loved but see no longer, those to whom we owe our gratitude, who have given so much so we can live in freedom. Remembrance is a biblical principle and is a significant theme in the Bible. We are constantly reminded of the presence of God in the history of his people. In Exodus, the people are told to remember it was the Lord who brought them out of slavery in Egypt. In Isaiah, God says, "Remember, I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand. I will not forget you." Our psalm today also reminds us to remember the wonderful works of God. In Luke, we see the thief on the cross saying to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." In the Gospel of John, we hear the Holy Spirit will teach us and bring to our remembrance all that Jesus did. Jesus himself at the Last Supper said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we are called to remember the death of Christ and to remember the hope of everlasting life. Today, we stop. Today, we remember only a snapshot of conflict and war, but it gives us some understanding of how lives and hearts were torn apart. And so the list starts. We remember the 17 million killed in the First World War. We remember 60 million deaths in the Second World War in Europe, the East and Japan. We remember the Holocaust of 6 million Jewish people and others who died in death camps. We remember cities that were destroyed, leaving broken buildings and broken people. The Blitz of London, the firebombing of Dresden, and the nuclear bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We remember all those civilian men, women and children who also lost their lives. We remember the many wars that have come after 1945, Korea, Vietnam, the Falklands, the Gulf, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and sadly the list goes on. We remember those people of whatever country who have died in the quest of freedom and for the good of others, and we give thanks today for their lives. Some of you know I am a chaplain at the John Radcliffe Hospital. It was the receiving hospital for the repatriation of soldiers' bodies. They were returning from conflict in the Middle East. I remember it was a harsh landscape. The military escort, the coffins draped with flags, the crowds of people paying their respects, and the families of those who have died, they had the sorrow of the world in their eyes. We remember all these narratives alongside our own story, the people in our own families. If you have a chance today to hear a family story, take the opportunity. And if you have the chance today to share a family story, take the opportunity. We build our identity by belonging to a story. I was 3 when my granddad died, but his story has been handed down, and I'd like to remember it now. He was a good-looking soldier at Gallipoli. He was shot and came home injured. As soon as he recovered, he went back to France to find himself on the edge of a gas attack. He would never breathe normally again, always struggling stridently for breath. My mother's family home was never quiet until the day he died in 1962. But he was always grateful to have survived and not be left with his pals. That's what they called those that went with you to the battlefields of France. In those days, a whole town of men joined up together and they formed a unit. After the gas attack, there was only his home and one other spared a telegram that week in the northern town of Clitheroe. Only 2 homes that did not hear of their loved one, their Clitheroe pal, dead or dying. Every home but two. It's hard to imagine those statistics, and yet they have little importance when a husband, a father, a brother, a son is never coming home. To those families, it is their loved one that matters, not how many others there were. Mothers and fathers grieve for their children. Children grieve for their parents. Families and friends grieve for their loved ones. There are so many personal stories that could be told in this church. They'd all be different, and yet the paradox is they're all the same. And it's hard to know what to say. When we can't find the words, we can speak through symbolic language. Flowers and candles are often the most compelling images. Those simple red flowers are the universal sign of our remembrance. Flanders poppies, bright red, vibrant, such delicate but resilient flowers. They grow in their thousands, even in the middle of chaos and destruction, creating something beautiful. The candle too helps us to focus when we lack the ability to form the appropriate words. It's a traditional way to show the intensity of our thoughts and our feelings. A candle shows us the effect of a small light, even in the darkest of places. In the Bible reading, Jesus tells us that he is the true light. He will never be overcome by the shadow of darkness. I love these poetic words. I will endlessly in light the dark immerse. A light has gone out in my tent, but I bless the flame of Christ that lights the universe. In Jesus there is always light and hope. Let the silence of this Remembrance Sunday permeate through us. Silence can in some ways do justice to the sacrifice, the feelings and the memories. And I'd like to honour that again, just for a few moments, while we light a candle. We need to recognise our past and our present in order that we continue to pray for peace for the future generations yet to come, who will one day also stand in silent remembrance. I'd like to remember the Christmas of 1914. A verse from Carol Ann Duffy's poem, The Christmas Truth, puts it like this. Men who would drown in mud, be gassed or shot or vaporized by falling shells, or live to tell, heard for the first time, still inacht, heiliger nacht. Silent night, holy night. The Christmas truce was one of the last examples of peace between enemies in warfare. It was never repeated. Future attempts at holiday ceasefire were quashed by threats of disciplinary action, but it serves as heartening proof that beneath the brutality of war, the soldier's essential humanity endures. It is even said the rifle fire the next day from both sides was shot in the air. This is part of our history, but for millions of people, war is not history, but it's part of their lives. It is vitally important that we remind ourselves of the shocking cost of war if we are ever to live in peace. I'd like us to think, what does peace mean to us? How can we build peaceful relationships with others at school, at home, at work, in our church? And how can we create peaceful communities locally, nationally, globally? Peace is precious, and the driving force for peace must come from us now. It must come from our remembrance of those who have given their lives in so many ways. We have to ask ourselves, what part can we play for all our tomorrows? I saw this jigsaw of the poppy fields. And to me, our lives are like jigsaws, full of interlocking pieces and interwoven stories. I invite you to take a piece of this jigsaw, a small piece of the poppy field. When you leave the service today, it will be by the door. It may help us to remember our contribution to the very complicated puzzle of war and peace. We all need to contribute our piece of the jigsaw towards the greater peace of the world. As we honour the past, let us put our faith in the future, for Christ is the source of life and light and hope and peace. Not an easy peace, not an insignificant peace, not a half-hearted peace, but the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now. The deep peace of Jesus be with you this Remembrance Sunday and always. Amen.